CDC recommends and the task force recommends wearing cloth face coverings in public settings where other social distancing measures are difficult to maintain.
That's the U.S. Surgeon General, Vice Admiral Jerome Adams, issuing updated recommendations earlier this month from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, urging all people to wear face masks when leaving the house. But that's proved a difficult and sometimes dangerous choice for Black men in particular, who sometimes face discrimination while wearing face coverings. There have already been several high-profile incidents, including a doctor who was arrested in front of his home in Miami while wearing a mask, and two men who were kicked out of a Walmart for wearing masks. And so we asked you, our listeners, whether you've experienced racial profiling from wearing a mask. Here's Mark from Philadelphia.
A couple of weeks ago, I was in my bank with a mask on, and I sat there and thought, here you are, a Black man in a bank in the city of Philadelphia, where if you linger at a Starbucks too long, they're liable to call the police on you. But happily, no one yelled freeze or call 911 on me.
This is Todd, a police officer. He told us masks are exacerbating an existing problem.
I've been profiled and followed all over stores and had to actually pull my badge out to show to security that I'm a police officer and I'm not in there to steal anything. And that's just in my everyday average life. So being a Black man in this world is never an easy thing.
To understand more about racial profiling against Black men and how COVID-19 is factoring in, I spoke with Aaron Morrison, national race and ethnicity writer for the Associated Press, who's written about this topic, and Rayshon Ray, David M. Rubenstein Fellow in Governance Studies at the Brookings Institution and an associate professor of sociology at the University of Maryland. He's done research on racial stereotyping and police-civilian relations. I started by asking Aaron of when reports of social profiling around masks began.
In the middle of this pandemic, there's been so much happening that even these types of recommendations from the CDC, which, if you can believe it or not, just happened this month on April 3rd. At the time this was announced, I heard it and it almost went in one ear and out the other because of how much was going on all at the same time. But as these requirements started to spread, we started seeing Black men reporting and posting videos where they were saying, look, this is leading to some racial profiling. And some of these videos, when they were posted to social media, they went viral. That prompted some U.S. senators, including Senator Kamala Harris of California, to send a letter to the DOJ and to the FBI, asking them to provide additional anti-bias training and guidance to police officers, because there was a concern that the requirement to wear masks was going to cause some tension in communities where police community relations is already strained.
Has the Department of Justice or the FBI followed up on this? Do we know where police departments are on this issue right now?
I reached out to the FBI. They got back to me and they said that all of their employees, agents included, receive a basic anti-bias training when they first join the FBI. And they reiterated in a statement to me that they do not condone any of their employees carrying out investigations that are discriminatory on the base of race, gender, and any other classification. The DOJ did not respond to my request for comment. And to my knowledge, there has not been any movement on this since the senator sent their letter. However, I did reach out to the National Fraternal Order of Police, and they felt that this whole issue is a waste of time in the middle of a pandemic, because as they point out, and it's true that, you know, most police officers around the country receive some type of anti-bias training. However, it's unclear how often they're required to refresh that training. I think that's what the senators were trying to go for here. It's like, we're in unprecedented circumstances right now. People are going to have to cover their faces to protect themselves. And it doesn't seem like a stretch to ask police officers and police departments across the country to, you know, just reiterate their commitment to anti-biased policing.
Rayshon, there's this viral video of a Black man wearing a mask, a doctor in Miami, being handcuffed by the police outside his home. What was your reaction to seeing that and to some of these other videos?
Given the research that I've done, I wasn't surprised by what I seen. But of course, it's always an unfortunate and sad moment. And I think what shocked a lot of people is the fact that afterwards, people found out that he was a physician. And one of the main problems I have is I'm wondering if that same attention would have actually happened with this case had he not been a physician. I think part of the problem is that people make the assumption that some kind of way being a reporter at the AP or being a fellow at Brookings or a professor at Maryland all of a sudden ameliorates us from criminalization. And that's essentially what we're talking about, which is where people's blackness becomes criminalized. Before I came to Maryland, I did a lot of research on physical activity and obesity. One of the big things I learned is that race was highly correlated with place. And part of that place meant that people were more likely to be exposed to certain deleterious outcomes. For black men, regardless of their socioeconomic status, it meant being exposed to levels of criminalization that make it where they are oftentimes perceived as a criminal, even when they're not. In the situation with the physician in Florida, he was actually doing what we want to see people do, particularly physicians, which is go out and help treat people during a pandemic. He was putting his trash where we would expect trash to be located. He was loading up his vehicle outside of his home. None of those normal things matter because, unfortunately, still in America, when oftentimes people see black men, they see a certain skin tone, which suggests criminality, even when people aren't doing that.
You know, the flip side of this is a man who was dragged off a bus in Philadelphia for not wearing a mask. And I guess I wonder, how do black men make this choice right now when they go out in public? What is the right thing to do, both for public health and for themselves, Aaron?
If I can speak personally for a moment, as a black man, I often rely on my smile that, you know, would allow me to disarm people who might assume the worst about me, have not knowing me, never met me. And so having a mask on takes away one of my tools that I use to stay safe as I'm walking about in America as a black man. So I can imagine that many black men, and not just black men, but other men of color, are making that decision. Do I stay safe from this highly contagious virus? Or do I remove a mask or choose not to wear a mask so that I can use all of the tools that I'm equipped with to disarm and make people feel more comfortable around me, given that we know that we are viewed in a different light in this country, and especially by law enforcement.
Rishon, there's a clip I want to play for you from one of our listeners that sort of ties into something Aaron was saying.
Hi, Daquan Miller from National City. I have concern about wearing masks around town. I do things like dress up a little bit nicer. I try not to dress up in a way that, you know, kind of looks like a thug or something like that. And I follow the shelter-in-place recommendations very closely. So I try not to go out unless I absolutely have to go get some food, groceries, or something like that. But unfortunately, being a minority, whether I'm black or Hispanic, you can get caught up in the wrong place at the wrong times sometimes. And certainly wearing a mask probably does not help the situation.
So, Rishon, from your studies on this, and indeed what Aaron was saying sort of about smiling and trying to appear friendly and unthreatening, what actions do black men have to take to appear less threatening under normal circumstances, and how does COVID-19 exacerbate that?
Yeah, so I think there are a few important points. First, what Aaron is describing and what the man in the clip was just describing is what's called a signaling process. Coming out of sociology, social psychology, Irving Goffman, I did a large study looking at physical activity among middle-class blacks and whites. And what I found was that black men were significantly less likely to engage in physical activity in predominantly white neighborhoods. And they then went through a signaling process, things like Aaron described, smiling when they are walking down the street or running down the street, wearing an alumni t-shirt, always waving at neighbors, running in well-lit areas, carrying an ID with them, things that people don't typically do when they actually go out to exercise. I mean, running a few miles is already difficult enough. That signaling process was something that is unique to black men, oftentimes, that we have always done. The second thing that's important, I've done a lot of work with police departments around the country, small, mid-sized, large departments, Department of Homeland Security and the like. We actually perform these implicit bias trainings. I think we have one of the best train the trainer programs in the country. One thing I realized from doing all this work and all the studies, from interviewing hundreds of police officers, conducting a lot of quantitative research, is that implicit bias trainings as well as body-worn cameras are limited because they don't deal with the fundamental issue of accountability. And you hear that even in the response, that during a pandemic, this isn't something we should focus on. And that's unfortunate because up to this point, overall, the pandemic has been responded to in a colorblind approach. That's the wrong approach to take in a society that is not colorblind. So what we actually have to do is take a health equity approach to what's going on. The final point I want to make about bias in policing is that we know that it's rampant. There is a large study done in New York City of about 700,000 police stops. What that study found is that only about 2% of the stops led to the discovery of contraband. That meant 98% of the people, of the 700,000 people they stopped, were doing nothing. But 50% of the time, force was used on black men. And interestingly, police officers were more likely to find contraband or an illegal weapon on white men relative to black men. Does that mean that white men are more likely to commit crime? No. But what it does mean is that police officers are using a different script. When they see a white man, they're actually looking at their behavior. When they see a black man, they are looking at their skin tone. And that is the factor that we have to deal with. And implicit bias trainings only go so far until we actually deal with the accountability within law enforcement.
What does all of this tell us about how society links black men and criminality?
So I think when it comes to linking black men and criminality, unfortunately, black skin, particularly on men, give an indication that black men are more threatening, more physical. And of course, there are a lot of studies that show this. There's a fascinating study that actually found that there are a lot of people who are scared of snakes and spiders. And for some people, when you put them in close proximity to black men, they actually have the same visceral reaction, literally physiological reaction, to black men as they do to snakes and spiders. This could be being in an elevator. This could be being on a bus. This could be being on a train. So when people have these physiological reactions, one thing I know as a social psychologist, it oftentimes leads to biased overload, and it leads to a behavioral manifestation where you mistreat someone. Racism is baked into the recipe that created the United States. And we have still never dealt with that. And black male criminalization is a large part of that recipe. A big stat that black men continuously worry about during interactions with law enforcement is the fact that black men are 3.5 times more likely to be killed by the police when they are not attacking, nor when they have a weapon. Who provides that information? Police officers. Part of the problem, though, is according to FBI stats, we only have those data from 16 states. So we know how many people catch the flu every year. Now, with COVID-19, we're still working on that. But we also know how many people get killed by jellyfish, but we don't know how many people are killed by the police every year. I think that should unnerve everyone. And some work that I've been writing on at Brookings has highlighted the ways that this pandemic is really colliding on the bodies of black people. And we're seeing that based on the neighborhoods that we're in, as well as the experiences we have, again, with people, in this case, law enforcement, but I think it also extends to healthcare providers, who we are actually putting in place to protect us and to make sure that everyone is treated equitably. And that's simply not happening.
Well, that makes me think about both the sort of physical manifestations of what we've seen of how COVID-19 is affecting communities of color, higher rates of disease, higher rates of hospitalization, and the mental stressors, the anxieties, et cetera, around mask wearing and sort of being out in public right now. And I guess I wonder, Rayshawn, from your work, if you think about the psychological after effects of this pandemic and what it may do.
Yeah, I always worry about that. You know, it's interesting when we talk about, in particular, black men and mental health. And of course, we know that black men are significantly less likely to utilize healthcare. It's not simply that they don't want to go. Instead, it's that oftentimes they have deleterious experiences when they go. I tell people this way, if someone recommends a restaurant for you to go to and you go and the service is bad and the food isn't good, you might say, well, my close friend recommended, I'm going to go back. You go back again and the food isn't good and the service is bad. You're not going to go back. These are the experiences oftentimes that black men have with healthcare. These are the experiences that they have with law enforcement. And oftentimes, white people are having very, very, very different experiences. And they tend to think that people like myself and Aaron are having similar experiences to them. And if you're having a bad experience with the police, it's because you're a bad person. And unfortunately, that's not necessarily the case. So one of the things that I've also found is that the mental health oftentimes of black men suffer. They oftentimes have higher levels of stress, higher levels of anxiety. But because of their deleterious experiences in healthcare and law enforcement, they might be less likely to seek help. So in this situation during a pandemic where we really see COVID-19, particularly the deaths, colliding on middle-aged to older Black men, regardless of their socioeconomic status. A lot of these pre-existing health conditions are baked into the fact that we have unfortunate experiences with people who we should be able to seek help from.
You know, Aaron, this whole situation with masks is so reminiscent, painfully, of various forms of racial profiling, Trayvon Martin and the hoodie, et cetera. What does it represent to you?
I think what this moment is revealing to us is just how much more work we have to do to dismantle systemic bias and racism. You know, sometimes it takes moments like this, a pandemic, sadly, to reveal exactly where we are in this country. So I think the fact that we're having a conversation about Black men wearing masks to protect themselves from a highly contagious virus, when 6-7 years ago, we were having a similar conversation about hoodies, I think that should remind us where we are. We are not at the promised land, so to speak, yet. And that is why you will have people make demands of our law enforcement community, because quite honestly, the onus should not be on Black men to make sure that they are being treated fairly by members of law enforcement. These are people with guns and badges. They have power. They have immunity in a lot of cases when it comes to how they use force. So the onus cannot be on Black men. And we are going to continue to have this conversation, quite honestly, until something real changes.
Aaron Morrison is a national race and ethnicity writer for the Associated Press. And Rayshon Ray is a David M. Rubenstein Fellow in Governance Studies at the Brookings Institution and an associate professor of sociology at the University of Maryland. If you've had an experience with racial profiling or discrimination while wearing a mask, or you want to comment on any of our other stories, just give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.